are the best!
You are the best!
The hottest band in the world! Kiss!
What are we waiting for?
Greetings from Jadel, it's your boy Jody Havnot. I'm sitting here with my boy Andrew Kiss. What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Pretty good, man. It's good to be back in the Strange Ways land. And guess who's back on the show today? We're talking D-Rock.
Hi, Curly.
What's up, D-Rock?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing. So it's been a long time, but I think what we're going to do today is we're going to just take a general look at KISS in 2015. What do you guys think about that?
All right.
Sounds good.
Sound good to you? First thing that really happened in January this year was kind of like, there wasn't a whole lot, but Paul played that birthday party with Dave Grohl. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, basically Paul just got up and jammed with him and they did like Detroit Rock City, maybe Love Gun or something. I can't remember. And it was pretty cool, and Paul sounded pretty good. I can remember us at the time talking about how, you know, he sounded pretty decent on it. You know, at the time, everyone was kind of slagging his vocals and all that. But it was pretty cool. What did you guys think about it? Do you remember it, Andrew?
But no, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Also, in January, let's see, what else happened? KISS did the whole Samurai Sun thing.
We both know our thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. No, just kind of forgettable.
For some reason, that feels like that was a couple of years ago, but it was really January.
Yeah, it seems like it was a lot longer ago.
When that came out, I was in the hospital.
Right. Let's see, what else happened early in the year? Okay, so Paul went back to Ibanez. Your thoughts on that?
I like the fact that he went back to Ibanez. I think that's a great sounding guitar for him.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's the coolest looking one that he's used since his Gibsons.
Most iconic, I think.
Yeah, definitely his most iconic. The freaking PS10 is pretty rad. I think that's the guitar most people think of when they think of Paul Stanley. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really did not care for any of those Washburns, really.
I like those recent ones, the Sunfire.
Oh, the one that looks like a Firebird?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are kind of cool. But some of those other ones, like the Cracked Mirror, they're just such an odd shape, you know? I didn't really care for him. But yeah, so I'm super happy that he went back to Ibanez. If he's not going to use Gibson, I'd rather him just go back to Ibanez, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. What else happened that early in the year? I think Ace went down under.
Good eye, mate.
And I can remember at the time, you know, there was all these reports of how it was like falling apart and it's a big mess down there.
Some of these former KISS members can grow to over 6 feet tall.
Right.
Oh, look at the size of that one. There's smoke coming out of his guitar.
Sorry to anyone from Australia. You're not all Steve Irwin, I know that, so.
Let's see, what else happened? Bruce got married in January to, what's her name? Lisa Lane?
Devereaux!
So that was kind of cool, I guess. There wasn't a whole lot of really cool shit this year. I mean, we didn't get to see them this year, and they weren't putting out a record, so it's kind of like. It wasn't a whole lot of really, really cool KISS stuff this year, really, was there? I mean, there's some, and we're going to get to the things, but I can already tell you, it's just not a whole lot, you know?
They are serious.
What's that, D?
I said they had a lot of affiliated stuff, you know, but not anything really directly with them.
Yeah, I guess what, like Ken said, man, just like KISS culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we move into February, and like, nothing much happens except KISS had to admit that they were using those backing tracks in Japan. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big deal after Gene, you know, talking all his shit about how KISS would never do such, you know. What do you guys think about that?
You know, they are getting old and they are wanting to put on a quality show, so I think maybe they felt, you know, that they had to keep their game up to par, and, you know.
I think they only did it on Samurai Sun, though, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just because he tweeted like an apology. He said my voice, it wasn't 100%.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, it was shocking because, like, we know Paul wasn't bulletproof, but we thought he was always, like, honest all the time. And then you get that. Just, like, it's one of the few bands that don't do that. And then you hear that, oh, yeah, it's got an extra vocal track on it. It just seemed a less pure in my eyes. But, I mean, like, it happens. Like, his voice isn't always 100%, so it wasn't, like... Oh, how dare he? It was just really surprising.
It was. You're right.
We're just ordinary human beings.
Let's see. So not a whole lot happened in February, but Gene did say, if you guys remember when he was like, sometime in February, he made that big quote about how saying that not having money is the root of all evil. What do you think about that, D-Rock?
I think it could go either way, because, I mean, I know people that don't have money at all, you know, that are perfectly happy just living their lives, you know, and...
Yeah,
it can't. I think it just goes both ways. You know, some people aren't happy unless they have money to be able to survive on. Some people are happy just being alive, being able to make it day by day. So,
yeah, I guess so. But still, not really newsworthy. Maybe this episode is gonna suck. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's stop this pussyfooting around, right?
So we roll into March. All right. Not a whole lot happening again, but that, like, book, Gene Simmons is a Powerful and Attractive Man, or whatever came out.
It's a good book.
I haven't read it.
It's just a bunch of comic book illustrations of funny stuff.
I did see a couple of quotes from it that said that, it said, like, did you know most rock stars travel by bus, but Gene travels by the Death Star?
Cosmic.
Another one they had was, like, did you know that Gene Simmons does not need a toaster? Because bread gladly sets itself on fire for him.
Oh, yeah!
I thought that was pretty funny. But, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read the book. You actually read it, Hinder?
Read some of it. It was at a bookstore, so I didn't want to get... Like, didn't want the employees to get pissed off that I was reading.
Right. It's more like
I didn't pay for it. It's like a comic book thing, though.
Isn't it more like a parody of Gene or something, though?
It is, yeah.
So it'd probably be pretty funny. I need to check that out.
It's pretty good, though.
Another thing that happened in March was, like, Bruce was in Australia giving master classes on guitar. What do you think about that?
Well, he's been doing clinics for years, so...
See, I didn't take it as being just a clinic. I saw that master class, and it's like, huh, what's he doing?
He's teaching judo.
Yeah. It also said that Paul visited that 4-year-old girl when she had the ear surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, totally cool.
Yeah.
You know, knowing the stories of Paul and, you know, his issues with ear problems. Thought that was kind of cool of him to go and, you know, just support that.
Yes.
The only really other thing that happened in March, and probably the coolest thing as far as I'm concerned that I could remember, was, like, the whole Toby Wright Decibel Geek episode. That was fucking killer, dude.
Like, oh, yeah.
It made me take another look at Carnival, and I never thought I'd put that record back on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it gave me a whole new appreciation for it.
Yeah, me too. You never hear that much about it, you know? They try to bury that one.
I just think if they had, like, a better cover, it wouldn't get a huge amount of talk or whatnot, but I think it'd be a lot more well-known. Versus, like, just the We're Just a Band. It seems like a compilation album that nobody was meant to hear. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think? What do you guys think would have happened? Suppose, like, Kiss just decided to release that and put Ace, Paul, Peter, and Gene on the cover and say this is the new Kiss record. What do you think would have happened? I mean, A, all of us Kiss fans would have known, you know, that it wasn't Ace and Peter, obviously. But what do you think would have happened if Carnival of Souls would have came out, and, you know, maybe they called it Psycho Circus or whatever, and said that that was the new Kiss record? What do you guys think would happen?
Would it be much different versus the Psycho Circus that's now? I mean, like, if they threw on an Ace and Peter track, it'd be the same type of deal anyway.
I mean, it's kind of obvious that you can tell that it's Bruce and Eric, you know, it's,
to,
you know.
To people like us, it's obvious, but to, like, all these new... After 96, they had a shit ton of new fans. They had no idea about anything about Kiss, really, you know?
I don't think the younger, newer fans would have known the difference.
That's what I'm saying. So, but do you think it would have had like a better impact because it was some heavy rock record versus, you know, Psycho Circus, kind of them trying to go backwards, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I honestly don't think it'd be much different because I think it would just be capitalizing on the fact that it's a new record with the original lineup, or it's billed as that, but because, you know, there was a lot of stinkers on Psycho Circus, you know.
I like how we've adopted stinkers into our...
Jeez, man.
That's great. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that was like the coolest thing of the year, because...
Pretty much.
Toby Wright. I mean, I never thought we'd hear anything from the producer about that record, you know? So that was really cool. So right on, Aaron and Chris.
Yeah!
I guess that would bring us into around April, right? And the only thing that I could really think of that happened was, like, Kiss got that ASCAP Founders Award for songwriting, which is totally cool. Finally, they get some kind of recognition. And, you know, it was saying how, I don't remember what the fuck it was saying. So never mind that. But it's still pretty cool that, you know, that Kiss got an award from ASCAP. I mean,
recognition finally from a place that the general public's never fucking heard of.
Yeah. But that, like, other people in the industry, it lends, like, some kind of legitimacy to Kiss. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always happy when Kiss wins anything because they're always the underdog, you know?
Isn't it always bizarre that, like, just... I guess maybe that's why the formula works so well, but how... Gene doesn't give a shit about credibility, and Paul, that's his main goal in life. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's just weird how... I guess that's what makes it work, though, but yeah.
It's like a battery works on positive and negative.
We just keep going and going and going.
So, D-Rock, what are you thinking so far in this year in Kiss?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you, you know, I wish there would have been more happening with the band itself, you know, and more musically than just the little bitty things, you know. I mean, I feel like they've slacked, but, I mean, they had some cool stuff, you know, that they did this year that I'm sure we're going to get to.
Yeah, I mean, Paul launched his clothing line, and I know you guys are both wearing that shit right now.
Oh, yeah.
Royals and Rebels, it's called. For the modern metrosexual man.
Showcase the meatballs.
Right.
Smuggling plums.
That's my favorite.
Space plums.
You know, no soccer walker, space plums.
Let's see, where that was Paul in May. That's pretty much the only thing that really happened, Kiss-wise, that's worth mentioning.
Just 1,000 Starbucks tweets.
Yeah. But mid-year, Gene received the legend title at the Golden Gods.
Oh, yeah! All right.
Tommy actually received the... He won Defender of the Faith Award. What do you think about that?
Well, I was going to be an ass and just say, did he win a costume contest?
Tell me about it.
Right? But no, Defender of the Faith Award. I guess people recognize that kind of how he's the one.
He's the oomph in Kiss now, you know, like he's pushing for all the gems and, you know, just... deep cuts, you know what I mean? Like, he's the
oomph all night. He's like the preacher of the Kiss-janity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's like still a fan at heart.
It would be just like one of us getting in the band. We'd be like trying to push him to do what all of us fans want to do, you know?
Right.
I think that's way cooler than having, like, you know, fucking Vinnie Vincent, who couldn't give two shits about Kiss, or...
Andrew, if I hear you want to do Nowhere to Run one more time, I'm gonna throw you off this fucking bus.
Right. The only other thing that really happened in June was, like, Ace played the Download Festival. That's kind of cool.
That's big festival.
Yeah, so Ace got to play a pretty huge... Probably the biggest show he's played since he left Kiss.
Probably.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But then we finally get a big ray of sunshine come July, right? I'm talking about Kiss at Scooby-Doo Rock and Roll Mystery. Original movie is so fucking rad.
Yeah! Hell yeah.
That was like the coolest thing that happened this year, as far as I could think of off the top of my head.
Definitely the most people talked about Kiss was regarding this film.
Well, think about how important it is.
It's fucking creepy.
It's like there's a whole new generation of kids that have been turned on to Kiss because of this.
And then I think the whole thing about the movie, too, was it wasn't so much a Scooby-Doo movie. It was actually more a Kiss movie than it was a Scooby-Doo. It was like Scooby-Doo were more or less like the guests.
Right. They were kind of incidental to the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's super cool, man. And, you know, for all of us Kiss fans, when I heard that they were going to do it, I was thinking, oh, brother, you know, because I've seen the one that they did like 10 years ago that was just like an episode, and it was fucking lame. But then, so when I heard about this one, I was thinking, oh, geez. But then when it actually came out, you know, me, I have to check it out. I have to. Mm-hmm. So I got all fucking baked, put it on, and I was like, holy fuck, this is totally fucking awesome. And, like, I still feel that way. I've watched it, like, 10 times, dude. I love it. It's so fucking cool.
They put, like, all the little inserts and the little tidbits with, like, their song names, you know? Like, that one chick's
Delilah Domino. Yeah.
You know, to protect the black diamond, you know, and all that shit.
Yeah, they tie it. Like, whoever wrote that tied it all in so perfectly. There's so many cool, like, Easter eggs, like, you know, we talked about it before, but there's a thing where you even recognize Anton Fig. It's just so fucking cool. And the story itself, to me, I mean, this may be like sacrilegious to say, but I think it's better than Phantom of the Park, dude. I honestly do.
Probably.
I actually kind of looked at it as like a continuation of the Phantom of the Park, you know, only animated and with Scooby-Doo, you know, because they were still at a theme park. You know.
Yeah, it totally had that feel.
Doc McGee was the best in that.
Fuck yeah, he was. Every time the like glitter bomb would go off, he'd be like right behind him sweeping it up, bitching about it.
This is expensive.
Trying to sell the merchandise and shit.
Dude, it was so great.
Dude, I tried to love that movie, but Paul was just so fucking creepy in that movie. it bothered me.
He is a little creepy, admittedly, like, but still.
Fucking Paul Stanley and Michael Jackson.
Hey, this is Adam from Kistery Science Theater. You are listening to the Strange Ways Podcast. Rock on.
But as far as, you know, the Scooby Kiss thing, one of my absolute favorite parts was that awesome costume change. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Dude, that was so awesome. I wish they would have done it like 10 times and went through all the costumes, though.
Superhero thing, you know.
Super awesome. And like all the appropriate, they did it right, man. All the appropriate colors, great. You know, everything about it was fucking awesome. And see if what I'm hoping, and if I was Kiss, man, and if they really would realize just the impact that this has on all these new fans that are like 3 years old, that are gonna grow up and be just like us, dude.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they won't be just like us. Let's hope. Otherwise, our future may be in jeopardy.
Brent's little boy even dressed up as Gene Simmons from the Scooby-Doo movie for Halloween.
It's just so cool, dude. You know, and it's like all across the board. It's great for kids. It's great for us old school Kiss heads. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a win-win. It fucking kicks ass. I think it's the coolest thing they did all year. But, you know, if I was Kiss, dude, I would realize that, you know, they could really make a lot more of these, like, animated movies. And all they gotta do is go in the studio and do the voices. They could do that in an afternoon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it'd be, like, a new franchise, these Kiss movies.
Yeah, because they're giving birth to a whole new generation of Kiss fans.
I was gonna say, Gene's already narrating children's books anyway, so, you know, like, right. You can do this, too.
But no, how cool would it be if, like, you know, a couple times a year, just straight to DVD, Kiss anything, Kiss meets whatever. And, you know, just animate it the same. The characters could look the same, and it'd be fine. But it'd be even cooler if they could go back and, like, animate old stories. Like, remember those old rock and roll comics where it, like, reenacted the, you know, the inception of Kiss? Imagine if someone did that as an animated movie, kind of like the Scooby-Doo deal, and really paid attention to details and would tell the whole story leading up, you know, all the way through maybe Alive or something, you know? How fucking cool would that be?
Yeah, I'd definitely go out and get it.
I think it would rule. But yeah, so nothing much happens in August, dude, except one really cool thing was Bob Gruen was on the Kiss Room. That was fucking awesome.
That's their Rock and Brews restaurant.
Yeah, I didn't even write, like, I made some notes, I didn't even write those down. I don't care about those Rock and Brews until they bring one to St. Louis. Or well, somewhere close enough that we could drive there in an afternoon, you know?
I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's cool that they're trying to start their own chain, you know, that's going to come around, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, usually one's going to end up in St. Louis.
Yeah, that would be awesome, dude. I wish they would. They could make some money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, people want to eat. You know, and they want to go to some new swanky place. I'm just saying, it would do well here, and I don't see why there's not one.
Definitely put up a fight with Dave and Buster's, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, imagine how cool it would be if instead of that Dave and Buster's, you know, outside of, like, Riverport or whatever, if there was, you know, Rock and Brews.
Right.
And every show that happened, people would, you know, pack the place.
Pack it. Oh,
just
yeah.
Saying, if you're listening, Gene.
It's a great idea.
Right. You know, people always ask me. I can't do it like you do, Andrew.
Jesus, I can't even do it.
People always say, you know.
People always say,
you should
go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
And I say, it's not Kiss enough.
People that say you can't clearly... have issues.
Have issues.
Now my impersonation is me doing you doing Paul. Which is all like a third generation. So yeah, anyways, in August, Bob Gruen shows up in the Kiss Room and divulges a little piece of news that to me was like a big piece of news because all of our lives we've been told that those suits on Dress to Kill were fucking Bill-off coins, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bob Gruen comes on there and is talking about how, you know, some of them are his. And jeans in particular, those clogs that make his heel look like hooves. Hooves.
Hooves.
Right. Hooves.
Hooves.
And,
I would like to talk to you about the hooves you wear on Dress to Kill.
Yeah, so it turns out that there were Bob Gruens, and we wouldn't have known that if it wasn't for the Kiss Room. So, I mean, shout out to Matt and all the whole crew over there. Everybody loves that show, including me, D-Rock, Andrew, the rest of the world. And it is Kissmas time, so Merry Kissmas to all of you listeners and all of our buddies in the podcast scene. All
right! What would you like for Christmas, Matt?
Yeah, you don't have to wait for that. September rolls around. Paul Stanley calls Dee Snider and Twisted Sister a bunch of buffoons.
Buffoons.
I fucking love that because we've talked about it to death on the other show, but you know, it's just funny that he used the word buffoons.
Buffoons.
That kind of brought that word back into my vocab for a while there. For a couple months, I was using buffoons. Hadn't used that word in years, you know what I mean? Or if ever.
It's a medium-sized word like funnel.
Yeah. What else happened? Oh, in July, I think also that we didn't talk about was that they did that whole Starkey Hearing Foundation thing, which is pretty cool.
They did what?
The whole Starkey Hearing.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, actually, I was... That's funny. Yeah. But yeah, September 11th, Paul did that first... Soul Station gig, which was pretty fucking cool. What'd you think? What'd you guys think of that?
With Eric Singer.
With Eric Singer, yeah.
Well, just, you know, I pointed out before, but in his book, Eric Carr got mad that he wasn't the solo band drummer.
Right.
So you can't have someone from Kiss and a solo, and then...
Yeah. It's pretty funny. But I thought that the Soul Station thing was pretty cool. Do you like it, D-Rock?
No, I thought it was all right.
I think it's weird to hear Paul singing so low all the time. But, I mean... Mm-hmm.
It's like Phantom.
Yeah. It's very much like Phantom. Another really cool thing that happened on the 16th was D-Rock and I saw Ace Frehley live, and it was awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it rocked ass.
It was really cool.
For free.
Yeah, it helps to know people. We ended up getting in a little early and got to chill out. Did not get to meet Ace like I predicted that we would, but, you know, shit happens. It was a great fucking show, though.
With Richie, though.
Yeah, we did get to hang out with Richie Scarlett a little bit, which was pretty awesome. And our friend Slade was there. Johnny Wicker was there. Fucking Maria. We saw Lonnie there. We saw Weezin. You know, the typical St. Louis Kiss brothers and sisters.
Beauvais was there.
Beauvais. Rachel did not make it, which sucked.
Yes.
But, you know, it happens. But it was all in all a really fucking rocking show, dude. Especially when they played Strange Ways, obviously.
And his bass solo was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say that. Chris Wise, man, his bass solo kicked ass. He was doing like the, he kind of started doing the theme from Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
It was really cool. And he had this killer tone, a lot of drive and some feedback. It was kind of, almost sounded like Cliff Burton's bass tone, minus the wah, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
At the end of it, he held this, like, he was feeding back on this note, and all of a sudden, they clicked into fucking Strange Ways. The whole place erupted, dude. It was so fucking cool, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, it was exciting. I mean, it was nonstop energy the whole night.
Yeah, and, like, I was kind of going into it thinking it might suck just a bit, because a lot of those YouTube videos that I had seen were fucking brutal, like, terrible. And, no, man, in St. Louis, dude fucking killed it. I loved it. It was really good. I was pretty proud of the old Ace, man. He was killing shit. And it was pretty packed.
Yeah, it was. I was like, if we would have tried to walk through it, it would have took us like half an hour to get from one end to the bathroom, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was cool, though. Ace was really cool. After the show, we did get to hang out with Richie a little bit. Didn't get to meet Ace this time around, but that's okay. Also, in September... The RIAA announced Kiss was the number one American recording artist of all times in terms of gold and platinum records.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a no-brainer when you think about it, but... Yeah, they have 30 gold, 14 platinum, and 3 multi-platinum. Which is kind of shocking. I mean, which 3 are the only ones that went multi-platinum, do you think? Alive?
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Alive, too.
Yeah?
Maybe.
And what else, then?
Destroyer.
You think so?
Good, I don't know.
Yeah, it did have Beth selling it at one point.
Did compilations count?
Like, yeah, I'm guessing that they do. Yeah, hits. You might be right. But yeah, that's kind of interesting, you know.
Should look that up.
Yeah, we totally should have done a little research. Same time, around the same time, Paul became his shareholder in that Badlands Pawn. And, you know, interestingly enough, they're going to be playing there in, February?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about Kiss playing at a fucking pawn shop? What do you think about that, D-Rock? Does that sound weird to you?
I think it's kind of degrading, really.
You know, but I'm on the same page, but I did a little research about that Badlands Pawn, and supposedly it's a really fucking cool place, and they have shows there all the time, so it's not like Kiss is just setting up down at Herman's Pawn Shop or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right.
It's actually like a hall, but it just sounds very, like, Last Legs Vegas kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, we're playing at this pawn shop, you know what I mean?
It's like a step above, like, just a dealership grand opening.
Yeah. County fair.
Yeah, it's like REO Speedwagon territory.
Exactly. It's like, oh yeah, man, we're playing down at this pizza place down the street. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work for... It doesn't sound right with Kiss to me.
DJ Papa Vito's, we got Kiss.
Right. Paul goes on the zip line with the fucking pizza. Standing out to everyone.
Yeah.
Gene vomits some tomato sauce.
Right. And like fucking Eric has that cannon, but it's filled with like Parmesan cheese. He's like, check this out. Backwards into the fucking crew.
Sticks.
Let's see what else happened. Around, you know, October, Cadillac. We had the 40th anniversary of the Cadillac thing, and they, you know, they did the whole celebration and unleashed this awesome Kiss monument. What do you guys think about that?
Cool.
I don't know.
Cool. I don't know. What do you think, D-Rock?
I missed it. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, well, you know, Cadillac was 40 years ago when they came and did the whole homecoming. So in October, I think it was on like the 9th or something, somewhere right around in there, they, you know, did this big celebration of the 40th anniversary of such, and there's like this awesome Kiss monument that they, you know, unveiled, and it's kind of like, it looks kind of like the big monolith from fucking 2001 Space Odyssey, but it's got Kiss etched into it, and I think it's like the school paper from Cadillac from that time period is what is actually on the monument. But, you know, they had Mr. Speed, they came, you know, that tribute band that came down there and played in the gym where Kiss did, and had, you know, it was cool. I wish we would have been there. It would have been really fun, I think. But, you know, it's a little bit of a drive for us.
Right.
You could have made it, maybe, Andrew.
Take the Shoelace Express.
Right. What else happened in October? Obviously, the Kiss cruise this year was off the chain. I mean, what a great set list. Plus, I mean, you got the whole Alive thing. It looks so cool, man. Those Marshalls and the Grabber and the fucking V.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool, right?
I thought you meant what a great set list, like the Alive set list. Like, it's fucking great, but I mean, like, they normally play that anyway.
Right. No, I'm saying for the Sail Away, that was killer. Oh, yeah. Electric and badass. We've talked about it to death recently.
Although they still didn't wear the Asylum costumes.
No, they didn't wear the Asylum costumes, which was a bit of a misstep, you know. It was Halloween time. They should have done it. It would have been funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if they were like, since it's like Halloween, and when they come on in the makeup show, each guy was like Paul was wearing jeans makeup, or...
Oof,
that'd be weird. Oh, and yeah. Like, Paul's in the spaceman costume or whatever. That's what they should do. That'd really freak people out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. What? Speaking of Halloween, right? So, you remember, like, you know, we've done an episode in the past about, like, girls and Kiss makeup and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I finally got to experience that whole trip, right?
Uh-huh.
And let me just say, it's not what it's cracked up to be, bro.
Oh, yeah.
It was disturbing, man. Like, all types of fucked up. It literally started off, I was like, this is weird. This is so weird. And then it ended up with, like, I just had to, like, put the pillow over her head. Like, because I couldn't look at this Gene Simmons makeup, and it was really fucking weird, dude. Like, I always thought that it would be so hot, and it's just so fucking weird.
You mean when you painted her up as
Gene? Yeah. On Halloween. So then, you know, later that night, I finally got to check that whole scene out, and I wouldn't recommend it. That's all I'll say, man. It just makes you feel so fucking weird, dude. Because at one side of it, it's like, yeah, obviously it feels good or whatever. But then when you look and see what you're doing, it's like, oh, it's Gene Simmons. Oh, no. It's just really fucking weird, dude.
Gene's mouth.
I always said, though, that in the past that I would want it to be the Paul Stanley, because at least it's kind of a little more femme. But I'm looking down at this monster demon, and it's just like, oh god, all I could do is start laughing. And it was just fucked up, man. We had to
close your eyes, Jody, and get ready for a surprise.
You know, I was like, that's a good dick. I was just it just isn't what it's cracked up to be. Let me say that much to you fellas.
That's great, Jody.
Right? Like,
feels great, Jody.
See, you're freaking me out even
though. Oh, I'm sorry. You can edit all this out.
Oh, man. But I'm just saying, you know, I always wondered about it and always never had it happen, really. I mean, I did the whole thing where I was in the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had the girl in the makeup, and I never will again. I just can't. Nah, doesn't work. So, yeah.
Maybe you just got the wrong band. Like, get her to dress up like Guar or something like that.
Yeah. Jam in the Holograms, maybe.
Yeah, he's taking that fucking movie.
I haven't seen the movie, but I don't think I ever will. I saw, like, a trailer. It was ridiculous.
It's coming out in theaters about Jim.
I know. It looks ridiculous. You know what's funny is, like, when I was a kid, I used to watch... It, like, came on Sunday morning cartoons. And it would be, like, Jim, the Transformers, G.I. Joe, all in a row. And I watched Jim. Just, like... But I can remember my dad kind of frowning upon it. Thinking it was a little... I don't know. A little fruity, maybe. And I never really, you know, thought of it as a big deal, but it's been like maybe 2 years ago I got the whole Gem series, and I got my mind right, put it on, and started watching it from the beginning, and like within the first minute, it's like totally like a Barbie cartoon, and I could totally see now why my dad was like, jeez.
But he's looking at it like, this is Barbie shit, you know?
Yeah, like, it really is more marketed towards girls, though, when you see it as an adult. But when I was a kid, all I saw was guitars, rock and roll, band. You know how I was. I've always been the same person, even when I was a little baby. You know what I'm saying? It's weird. The hat,
same
the beard.
Yeah,
all that, just for you.
That came out, Harry. He looked like a fucking Ewok.
Yeah. They used to call me Wicket.
No, that was your dog's name.
That was Gizmo.
Oh, Gizmo. Yeah, that's
from
right.
The Gremlins. What else happened? Nothing really else happened. In November, dude, Gene got busted. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, the whole router thing, yeah. It's not really worth getting into. Paul sang the national anthem a couple weeks ago. I actually watched that today. And... it's not like he's really singing it. He's just kind of, ooh, you know. Yeah. It's
very formal.
Yeah, not really outstanding. And like I said the other day on Podcast Rock City, I think if he would have sang it back in the day when he could still belt shit out, it would have been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of like that particular, you know, people belting out that song. But I think not Paul could have killed it.
Mariah Carey.
Right. Adding like 10 notes to one syllable.
Say, okay.
Yeah. But I think, though, all in all, I've had a pretty good year as far as being a Kiss fan. I mean, we got that Scooby.
Oh, yeah.
But there's always in the news, but the one thing that's like totally lacking is a record or a tour. Mm-hmm. I want to see him again live. And I'm really hoping, though, that it's not with Priest. I know that probably is like a knife in your back, Andrew, but I'm just hoping it's not fucking
Ow.
Priest.
Why not?
Well, A, I'm not a Priest fan, and B,
oh, yeah, that helps.
I think an hour of fucking that screeching will just give me a headache, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, no matter how wrong you are.
I've never seen Priest live, and maybe they could change my mind, but I just don't like Priest, you know, period. Oh,
no, that's a lot of people. A lot of people don't like Rush for the somewhat same reason.
I don't really like any band except Kiss that has high vocals, you know. It's not my bag. I don't like Led Zeppelin. I like Led Zeppelin, but I hate the vocals, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, same.
And I don't put Paul as, he's not like a high pitched screecher, except for maybe, you know, mid 80s a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I don't want to hear a fucking Halford wailing in the night. I just can't. I don't want it.
Fair enough, man. But for me, that's like my ultimate tour.
Right. I know you're a big fan, and, you know, and I get that. But I would just rather that they fucking came out and played with no opening band at all. Mm-hmm. Do like a fucking slideshow with some music. I'd be happy with that.
It's gonna make people laugh, but I loved when like they toured with Shinedown.
Really?
I'll admit it, I'm a Shinedown fan, but fuck it.
I didn't even know they toured with those guys.
They did, or at least in my neck of the woods.
That'd be better than Priest for me, and I don't like Shinedown either, but...
Really?
At least he's not screeching, is he?
No, not really.
He's more like an Eddie Vedder or something, right?
Sort of.
It's more of that like modern rock,
proper, just typical... Yeah, I guess. Like Axl Rose, Eddie Vedder.
Stock voice kind of thing.
I knew that was going to fucking creep up.
It's fucking stock.
I was thinking about that earlier, too. Picking at me all night.
Yeah. Guys.
Guys, come on. You got better things to do. Yeah, I do.
Dude, the best quote of that whole fucking movie is when Lars is playing shit back to his dad. Oh. And he's playing whatever song that is. And his dad's like,
Sweet Amber.
He's like, my opinion is, I'd say, delete that. Unless you're like some guy that's like, hanging out in some type of like echo chamber. It's fucking hilarious. Oh, I love that. I'm a big fan of Metallica documentaries more than I am their music, even probably.
Me too. We've quoted that more than any of their songs.
Because I love like Kill 'Em All, Ride of Lightning, Master Puppets. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know?
Yeah,
I'm hit or miss after that.
Don't knock the Through the Never or whatever, man, because that was a great movie.
I liked that too. I'm not saying that. I have always followed Metallica, even though I don't like most of their music past Master Puppets.
I like watching the shit that they post up on like Guitar Center. You know, like their personal little things.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Met on Tour is pretty cool, where they just show their rehearsal room and then stuff like that.
Yeah, super cool.
But yeah, as far as I did like Load. Didn't like Reload.
Yeah, you like Loads, huh?
He likes the bloody jizz.
The blood jizz.
Weird type of person.
So yeah, we better get back onto the Kiss thing. We could do a Metallica episode of Rock and Roll Radio sometime if you guys want.
Or we need a Seinfeld Rock and Roll Radio too.
That would be awesome. So
you can reach me at 851-7-0.
Yeah. Oh, I got one thing. One thing that did... You know that you and I have been on Podcast Stark City for a whole year now.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That's time flies when you're doing a show every week.
I know, it's really weird. But that's pretty fucking cool. Don't forget, you can always find me and Andrew every Monday, Podcast Rock City, with our boy Joe. Merry Christmas to you, Joe. I know you're listening.
Hi, Carly.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Okay, so looking forward to next year, man. What do you guys want from Kiss?
Tour album.
The obvious answers. If they do an album, we might as well talk about it a little bit. So, do you think they'll get another producer or what?
I hope they do, but I don't think Paul will let them.
I think you're probably right, but you know,
we're at the highway.
I love Paul Stanley, but dude, they gotta get another producer, dude. They have to.
Mm-hmm. They do.
When you're Kiss, I don't know, you need Ezrin. You need somebody that can kind of steer the ship a little bit, because...
Through the stormy sea.
Even though Paul and Gene know Kiss better than anyone else, I think that when they have another person producing...
How about Tommy produces it?
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. But when they have someone else, it's almost like they up their game, because they have to impress, you know, Ezrin, or that, you know... It makes them... just a little bit better when they have somebody else, you know?
Let's get Desmond Child in there.
Yeah, as a producer, that'd be kind of cool.
Co-writes? Yeah, co-writes.
See, for me, I think that I would rather just have a Kiss record that's all Gene and Paul songs. Because
I want, more than anything, I want like a honest Paul Stanley solo album.
Yeah.
Like, harness that, like, pain that he's been holding on to for years, and maybe that'll be like the ultimate therapy, because he didn't really do that too much on Carnival. That was more forced, but like, he can go dark easily.
You would think, yeah. That would be really cool and honest, you know. Stanley Eisen.
It's not gonna happen, you know? Because it won't sell as much. Then again, Monster Sonic Boom didn't really sell too much either, so.
I think that's part of the reason why Paul just isn't interested in making records right now, because he knows that no one's going to buy it, you know?
Well, that seems like Gene's MO. So are they just like changing bodies? Because like Paul's the artiste and like he wants to make music, and Gene usually worries about how much money they're making, and now Gene's really pushing for this thing.
Yeah, but maybe Paul's just like, from his artistic standpoint, if he's gonna go through the trouble of making a record with fucking Gene Simmons.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he wants it to at least pay off in some way.
I guess so.
I don't know what he's thinking.
But, like, most bands are like that anyway, where they make their money from the tour, so just do an album, and then you only have to play one or two songs and from it, and then you'll still make millions.
What do you guys think about the simple fact that Kiss is like one of the biggest bands on the planet again? Even when they did Monster, and they still can't sell any fucking records, man.
Weird. Well, because they're icons. Like, Alice Cooper puts out great music, but do you think Welcome Number 2, My Nightmare, sold a lot?
I have no idea, but I wouldn't think so.
No.
I mean, everything makes a circle, you know? I mean, they started off big, you know, then they kind of fizzled, and then they came back. You know, and I mean, I think the same thing will happen with their music if they just stick with it, you know, and keep writing, you know, and putting shit out. You know, their album sales are going to do the same thing. You know, they may slack off for a while, but they'll start picking back up, you know.
I don't know, man. Here's my whole trip. It's like, okay, we know how many people love Kiss, dude. You mean, when I was still on Facebook, that was one of the reasons I got off Facebook. I was so sick of looking at all that Kiss shit, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like,
all these motherfuckers profess Kiss love all day long on the internet, right?
Yeah,
but when the album comes out, where are these motherfuckers? They're just downloading it, or they're just not buying it? Why aren't they buying their fucking records if they're that hardcore about Kiss? You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, why aren't they going to support them with actually purchasing it instead of downloading it?
Yeah, instead of buying some stupid Hello Kitty thing, these people should put their money in a Kiss record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Monster didn't... I think it sold like 60,000 copies.
Insufficient data at the moment, Starchild.
I guarantee you there's more than 60,000 Kiss freaks on Facebook right now saying, have a fucking Kiss-tastic day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't buy the album. I mean, some people would say that it's because it's Tommy and Eric, blah, 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 fuck off. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But, like, where are all these hardcore fans when the album drops? None of them fucking buy it. Why? I never understood the numbers on these Kiss records based on the, you know, the fans that I used to see every fucking day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. So I think they're all just full of shit, man. You know, it's just like... A lot of those people just latch on to Kiss because there's a big group of people they can talk to every day on Facebook or whatever. And they really don't give two shits about the band.
They're a part of it.
Yeah, just to be a part of some group or what have you. That's the only explanation I could come up with, man. Unless they're just like, you know, going to Frostwire and downloading it as soon as they can, free. I mean, and that's very, very possible, you know.
Yes.
But I just always was curious, out of the millions of Kiss fans, 60,000 people have listened to Monster? That doesn't add up, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 60,000, that number may be a little off, but, you know, it's close to that. And that's just crazy to me.
A little fucked up.
I don't understand it. I don't dig it at all. And I think if you're that hardcore where you gotta post a picture of Kiss every 10 minutes on Facebook, you should probably buy the records.
Right.
That's probably the most important thing about a band, you know?
Yeah!
And maybe this is taking kind of a weird turn on Kissmas, but when Kiss puts out a record, they should at least go platinum if there's a million people in the Kiss army, right?
Mm-hmm.
People should show their support more, you know, and support them by buying their album, you know? And
yeah, because and then maybe they would still want to do albums, and Paul would want to do it, and Gene obviously would want to do it if they're selling, and, you know, how music is today. People just don't buy music anymore, man. And even on iTunes, I mean, those numbers count for Monster, you know what I mean? So it's still, even including iTunes, 60,000 people bought it.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, man. Dude, more people probably bought The Elder than Monster. And, you know, that was like their big failure in their minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know the numbers on the Elder right now, but I don't. But I guarantee you it's more than 60,000. Wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But I don't know. Let's get on a little happy subject. It is Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas memory, D-Rock?
I really don't have a Christmas memory.
What about when we went back in time and talked to Gene and Paul and Ace and Peter? That was cool.
Oh, yeah, we did do that around Christmas, didn't we? The Black Box set.
Yeah.
Yeah, that interview was kind of fun to do.
Yeah, I mean, time travel is always a good time.
Especially when I was making fun of Peter.
Yeah. Well, that was funny. What about you, Andrew? You got some Christmas memories?
Well, funny enough, that was my first contact with you guys, was sending in a question on that episode, I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now look at us. This is like 2 years later.
Jeez.
Also, it marks the 3-year anniversary of Strange Ways, technically, because our first episode came out like the end of December in 2012. Which is pretty wild. I mean, yeah, we've been absent for a while, but still, we've been around for 3 fucking years. What?
All right.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making our comeback still.
Yeah, I'm always coming back because we're just a bunch of fuck-ups. It's crazy. And coming in this new year for 2016, what I'm super excited about, we're talking all of us are going to Cleveland, dude.
Ooh.
Me, yeah. D-Rock, Andrew Kiss, Joe Polo, Matt Porter. We're hoping Ken Mills will make it, but he says he doesn't want to travel. The KST boys are supposed to be going. I mean, fuck, dude. How cool is that going to be?
It's going to be weird. It's going to be three minutes of just staring at each other going, what the fuck?
It's going to be very surreal.
Well, yeah, you're used to talking to someone on the internets, but then just seeing them and have an actual face-to-face conversation.
Yep. We're going to get that group hug for real this time.
Oh, yeah.
I am so excited about that, though. It's going to be a fucking blast. Plus, it's going to be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's going to be all these other Kiss weirdos there, too. So, I mean, how fucking awesome is that going to be?
I have, like, interviews and comments from people just walking around there.
Hell, yeah. It's going to be, like, the epic thing of 2016, man. All of us Kiss scene weirdos are getting together.
Pretty mystical.
It's either going to be like the best thing ever, or we're all going to leave there going, man, fuck all these dudes.
I hope it's not that.
It won't be like that, dude. Not at all.
Fuck you.
I think that since Ken doesn't want to travel, maybe Joe, since he's coming up, maybe he can swing by fucking Arkansas and pick up Ken, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. I want to meet the Pa Father in person. How cool would that be?
Dude, it could be like the Super Friends, and like he can just have like the head table, and we'd all be discussing our evil Kiss plans and whatnot.
Hell yeah, that'd be sweet.
Like we all have a microphone, and it'll just be one giant ass round table.
That would be super cool. Probably talk all over each other, but
yeah, there's gonna be alcohol there probably, so it's gonna lead to a bunch of hugging and crying and a few assault charges. It's gonna be great. Yeah.
Nudity
charge running down the hallway of the fucking hotel naked.
Oh yeah.
With a samurai sword, huh, D-Rock?
In my wheelchair going down the hall naked, be like the greased up guy off the fucking Family Guy. You can't catch me. See you next year.
I would love to see that. Oh, that would be really funny. I say that we probably end up in a strip joint that night with Andrew on stage a la Detroit Rock City, puking and filling up a whole pitcher.
What do you think? Hell yeah. I'll be using my leg for a stripper pole.
Yeah. This is just going to be such a blast, though. Man, Joe's going to be there, and Matt, and the KST boys. I think that maybe Aaron and Chris from Decibel Geek might be going.
Dude, I'm so excited.
It's going to be so fucking cool. And I can't wait for it, man. We don't even have that much longer to go, man.
8 months away.
Yeah. So we got plenty of time to just save money and go out in style in fucking Cleveland, dude. It's going to be great. And I think that we're going to bring some gear because we might end up playing a little bit, right?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Isn't that what's going on? I think. So you may be having to, we'll have to figure out what songs we want to do, and then D-Rock, you're going to have to get on this bass.
Right.
Then maybe since Joe and Andrew and I all play guitar, maybe I'll just play drums, and then we'll have two guitars and bass. And it'll be like Kiss. And we'll do like, and I won't have to sing anything.
Oh, shit, I don't want to sing.
You guys are going to have to sing. D-Rock's pretty good at vocals. I'm thinking Joe is, too, so. Who would you be, though, Andrew? You going to be Ace, or you going to be, like, Paul? I guess you'd have to be Ace, huh? If you don't want to sing that much.
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, you know, I do pretty decent at Gene, so.
True. Yeah, you have the bass, so you have to be Gene. I guess I'll sing Beth for you guys.
No, that's okay, Joe.
Can you imagine?
Or you can do Hard Luck Woman, and then Joe and I will play the double neck. This is
the double neck, like, round the back maneuver.
Yeah.
That I'd love to see as well. That would be fucking hilarious. Oh, man, can you imagine? D-Rock, you gonna spit blood or anything?
I might if I smoke enough.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe's gonna have to zip line.
Holy shit, that'd be great. That'd be super cool.
That'd be badass.
You guys could do the deuce moves and everything.
Oh, that'd be killer.
Hell yeah. I'll get like a cannon. Check this out. It's a bong.
The old Parmesan cannon.
The Parmesan bong cannon. Well, fellas, I think we're gonna wrap this one, man. It's been a nice year for Kiss, and stay tuned. We're getting back together. Strange Ways is back on, basically, is what I'm saying to you. And we want to thank everyone who's ever listened to us in these 3 years of, you know, Strange Ways.
Buffoonery.
Buffoonery. That's perfect, dude. So we want to thank everyone that's been listening to this 3 years of buffoonery. And I like that.
And yes, everybody, D-Rock is back!
Yeah! Yeah, D-Rock's back and he told you so. Chicka-chan! It was back in the winter of 2015. There's a reason I remember it well.
Is that fucking Dave Mustaine?
That was me trying to do D-Rock. I guess it was, might have been a little more Mustaine, perhaps.
Well.
Tell me, meet the real me.
Right. So yeah, thanks for listening so much, and
patience.
Stick around. We'll be back at you, and like, I think we're back on like the once a month kind of deal. That seems to be what we're on. We tried to do this every 2 weeks, and that just turned into a fucking nightmare. Once again, from Jindal, it's Jody Havnot and
Andrew.
And
D-Rock!
Alright, Kiss Army, that's another episode of Strange Ways going down the books. We want to thank you so much for listening, and we really hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did doing it, because we have a blast recording these things, and we really hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening, and remember to find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, Facebook. Dude, just Google it, you'll find us. Until next time, stay tuned and keep on rocking.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, Lee. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine Gene it's with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? This is Joe from Podcast Rock City, where every week me and my crew will bring you the Kiss news of the week. Look at us as kind of a Kiss version of Meet the Press, your source for Kiss news every week. We're on iTunes, Podomatic, Twitter, and Facebook.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Sorry, sounds good.
Right on, walrus man.
This is the fucking whale. The whales are back.
The whale sex.
Oh, my gosh.
Some kind of monster. Paul and Gene.
I tell you, I'm arguing that you've been picking at me all night just because you can't get away in a fucking drum fill. I'm just saying that it's stuck. it's fucking stuck, Paul. Come on, guys. We got fucking better things to do, motherfucker. That's right, George Bailey. I'm your guardian angel. Well, demon. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all. And to all, good night.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.